Thanks for providing our community with a voice to speak on this. I think largely we see distrust in the federal government, and I think that's duly noted, and it feels good to be part of a community that is politically aware and progressive, and I thank everybody who has stepped up and spoke today to address the withdrawal from this. So I guess when you think about the way that terrorism has been like the name tag for convincing the populations of the U.S. to go to war during the Iraq War, how's, you know, how the media uses that kind of terminology and fear tactic. It's interesting to really analyze like what the task force is aligned to do, and we see that there's obviously a lot of bad policy coming from that group, as seen through different accounts that we've heard today. So going back to the healthy amount of distrust that we have for the government, the federal government, I do thank you for being here in this council and, again, providing space. I think it's concerning, and I think that we do need to understand, like, if we withdraw from this agreement, like, who's to say that they're not going to continue doing the same thing that they've been doing? So what is our how are we going to police them, policing the people after we withdraw, if we withdraw? You see what I'm saying? When can we have a meaningful place for safe dissent? And, you know, I feel like we need to be progressive in this and take this seriously.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Philip. Very good. So, colleagues, what's your pleasure?
Mayor, to your point, I believe that out of 38 speakers, we had one person testify in favor of us staying, so I don't know that there's a need for us.
It was twice that many. It was
at least twice that many. Okay. My bad. I must have been at the restroom when the other one spoke. But having said that, I don't see a need to repeat testimony we heard yesterday. So if my colleagues are ready, I'm ready to call for the vote.
I would actually like to ask some questions because, I've heard the testimony and I appreciate it, but I still have some questions that I'd like to clarify.
Mayor, I just want to correct the record on one point. We have received a lot of testimony, written testimony and emails, and we've heard from a lot of people who actually support the JTTF. Who are not here today. The record includes emails, letters, and testimony, and I don't want to diminish anyone's voice just because they couldn't be here.
And before you move on, Mayor, if I may.
Certainly.
I noticed in the ordinance that it's called out that it would be binding city policy. I believe we need to add that to the resolution to add a further be it resolved that this resolution is binding city policy.
I would second that.
We have a motion from Commissioner Fritz. We have a second from Commissioner Hardesty on the point of making the resolution binding city policy, which would be parallel language to what was in the ordinance. Any discussion? Legal counsel, are there any issues we should be aware of?
None, Mayor.
Very good. Call the roll.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
This puts the resolution and the ordinance on equal footing in terms of binding city policy, and I think that's fair. Aye.
Hardesty.
Aye.
Udaly.
Aye.
Wheeler.
I support the amendment. Aye. The amendment passes. So to the main motion, I have a number of questions, unless anybody, I typically let my colleagues go first. I'm not sure who I'm asking these questions of, so maybe I'll ask them. And maybe, Kimberly, I know you're still here. Perhaps you would like to have a shot at these. AC Resch is here. Perhaps she would like to have a shot at these, but they're questions that have been looming. Some of them have been raised by testimony today. And I start with the assumption that Casey Jama got it right when he started us off and he said, we're all here for the same reason. We all want what's in the best interest of the community. We may just fundamentally disagree about the best strategy to get there. So my question is this. If we choose to withdraw from the Joint Terrorism Task Force, the task force doesn't go away. The task force continues to operate without us. Doesn't that mean we're missing the opportunity to assist with priorities, with policies, and bringing our city's value to the table? And if that's true, how does that possibly help protect or serve our community?
Mayor Wheeler and members of the commission, I think my answer will come back to what I was talking about earlier, which is trust. And while we have a greater degree of trust with our local law enforcement, we don't trust the FBI and the JTTF and ICE. And so the idea that, you know, our officers in working for the JTTF is somehow going to transform a massively long history of rights violations by the FBI and by various JTTFs around the country, it's dubious to us. And that doesn't mean that I don't trust that our local law enforcement would do the best that they can to advocate. I take them at their word. But I think that this is an issue where we just have a lack of trust. And again, I think as we've pointed out before, that if something rises to the level where an investigation can happen under Oregon law, right, where we're not proceeding before we have reasonable suspicion and probable cause, as the FBI often does, if there are actual threats and there's actual evidence that something is going on and there is a need to collaborate, we're not saying that that collaboration should not happen in those instances.
Could I ask a follow-up to that?
Sure.
Because that was also raised by a number of the people who testified eloquently earlier. In fact, somebody had said sharing information when, quote, actual threats are upon us, unquote. Somebody else said, when circumstances warrant. But if we have withdrawn from the terrorism task force, aren't we putting the burden on the FBI to let us know when there is, quote, an actual threat, unquote, and aren't we letting them decide what circumstances qualify as circumstances that warrant our participation?
I don't know if I follow you there, Mayor Wheeler. The idea that we somehow have to be inside and seeing all the same information that the FBI sees in order to decide what we're walling ourselves off from or not walling ourselves off from,
compared
to the idea that if the FBI actually sees a credible threat and they come to us and ask us to engage and our law enforcement follows our own law enforcement policies. I'm not following you.
Okay. Well, I may have misunderstood your testimony because I thought I heard you say we could enter into an arrangement where there is sharing information when an actual threat has been identified.
Sure. I mean, before we had the JTTF, if there was a threat to the city of Portland and the FBI knew about it, they could certainly come to the city of Portland and tell the city of Portland and local law enforcement about that threat. That existed before the JTTF. That exists now. It exists independent. There are places that don't have a JTTF. And I'm sure that if the FBI knew that there was some credible threat to a city that is not in a JTTF, they're not going to just not communicate
with
them.
So you do trust the FBI? In this case, you're trusting that the FBI will let us know if there is a credible threat. Is that right or not?
So let me get you here. So what you're saying is that by having members of inside in the JTTF,
at the beginning, as Chief Alwad suggested in her testimony,
that they're then going to have access to all the information that the FBI has, and so therefore, I'm sorry, I just don't, I'm just not following your logic.
Let me let these folks have a shot at that, and maybe I'll try again.
So in answer to your question, Mayor, that is exactly one of the points that I made yesterday, is that allowing the officers to be engaged from the very beginning does allow Portland to have an influence on what we determine is an actual credible threat to our city. If we do not have that, we are relying on the FBI to contact us when they feel that threat is necessary and when they feel it's necessary to bring us into the conversation. We are also not allowed at the very beginning to apply any of our resources when maybe we determine that it wasn't a threat, but there is another way to go about this problem. We mentioned our behavioral health unit. We mentioned our youth services. We mentioned the councils that we have access to and the community members who support us. It is a detriment when we are not there at the beginning. We are not allowed to put any type of Portland lens in looking at these cases. The FBI brings those to us.
Do you
Can I ask just one quick question? Because
sure.
I've never worked for the FBI, but Mike German has, and he is still here. And he is the expert on why these intricacies, like the things that you're asking, I understand, but I'm unable to articulate it in the same way that I think Mike could. And
sure.
If I could have him come back up and answer your question,
that
would be
absolutely
really helpful.
Sorry, I didn't mean to be disrespectful, Mike. I thought you caught a flight.
Thank you. And I would have, but Alaska Airlines decided they wanted me to stay here a couple more hours.
That's destiny. You know
yes.
that, right? Good.
Yes.
Thank you. Did you hear my question?
I did. I appreciate you jumping in, but I think it's a misunderstanding of how a task force works. Right. The reason you bring all these different people together is because everybody else has a different aspect of the work that they're doing that has different talents that they bring and also things they can't do. So the idea of bringing them together is to take advantage of all of that. So in your suggestion, it's just as likely that it's the Portland police that is bringing information to the FBI in the task force that is alerting them to a potential problem.
But not if we're not in it.
Oh, no, absolutely. The Portland police can call the Joint Terrorism Task Force and say, hey, we think we have a problem here. I mean, that wouldn't be changed by the withdrawal. So I talked about yesterday, the triage. Right there, the FBI has moved to a formula where they open up the spigots on intelligence collection, see something, say something. Every tip and lead is coming in, and every tip and lead gets followed, and that just burns up so much resources on low level things that you're not seeing what are the real threats. So, the way the Portland police interact with the community, they will more likely be the ones who know about things that are going on, and where the FBI has something that rises to the level of reasonable suspicion, that's when they open a full investigation, and that's when they can engage with the local
police. That's helpful, and I appreciate that perspective. Let me ask you a question about transparency, because transparency came up. A number of people mentioned it. They said that the nature of the task force is such that in dealing with intelligence, they're not as forthcoming as a lot of people in the community would like. Does the task force become more or less transparent by our withdrawal?
To us, it becomes less transparent.
How?
They are not required to tell us anything unless there is that threat. So what they're doing is not going to be told to us.
So there was some testimony I really enjoyed earlier by somebody who I like very much, and I won't call her out, but we almost always disagree. But I always appreciate her testimony, and I always appreciate her passion and her leadership in the community. And I've concluded that no matter what issue we are discussing, it's about engagement versus withdrawal. And you can think of some cases where it makes sense to actively engage. And I tipped my hand a little bit. I said, I think it's important for us to engage so we can establish priorities, we can establish policies, and we can bring our values to that table. I think that's really important. I know a lot of people here don't agree, and that's fine. There are other policies where people say withdrawal is more important. But this is an unusual issue. This isn't stock divestiture or something trivial. We are talking about situations where the public safety and well-being hangs in the balance. How does withdrawal provide the stronger commitment to safety and well-being? And I heard a lot of great values espoused, but while values are incredibly important, values in and of themselves don't protect the public. So how does that withdrawal versus engagement move the interests of the public with regard to safety or well-being?
So I would argue that that table should be at the Portland Police Department, not at the FBI. Let the FBI come to the table under the rules that the Portland Police have, and they can do that engagement using standards that the citizens of Oregon and Portland have agreed will govern their law enforcement activities.
But isn't that what we could do through Commissioner Fish's recommendation of let's put the sideboards on us? Let us decide what that partnership looks like and how we want to manage that policy rather than ceding it completely to the FBI, which is what we'd be doing if we withdraw.
Well, I would argue that the way you're going to get the FBI to cooperate and raise their standards is by refusing to join their task force and work under their standards.
Do you have evidence of that strategy would actually work?
That's why I come here so often and give you so much credit for being a leader on this topic and actually creating this conversation, but it's still a brand new conversation, and they've started it in San Francisco and they're starting it in Oakland, and I think I credit you for having had the courage to test this system. And you know, there is no guarantee of safety, but we cannot turn over our control to a secret institution that isn't responsive to our questions and concerns.
We serve with the FBI on more than just the Joint Terrorism Task Force. They work very, very closely with PPB on child exploitation, on sex trafficking, and unfortunately our community, you're probably aware of this, being on the I-5 corridor, is unfortunately a significant byway for sex trafficking, including international sex trafficking. There's been no proposal that we withdraw from those relationships. Is this a fundamentally different relationship, in your opinion?
It is, in my opinion, certainly, because you have the history of the use of this term terrorism to justify targeting people for political reasons, targeting communities that don't necessarily have the majority protecting them. So this is different, number one. But number two, no, I would ask you, after you withdraw from the Joint Terrorism Task Force, to start looking at the other ones and see how they operate as well.
Commissioner Fish.
I think my colleagues... I have a sense that our colleagues have lengthy statements to read. I think since we have the benefit of getting you out of here by 5 and having statements, I think the sooner we move to statements, the better.
All right. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Call the roll.
Fritz.
Thank you. Everybody who came today, everybody who sent in comments or called my office, this is an important question on which reasonable people can and do disagree. And it's so important that I'm going to read my speech because I don't want to miss any of it or to misstate anything. And I do appreciate that for the most part, comments have been constructive and focused on issues rather than directed at people and suggesting conflicting values. We all want to be safe. The question before us is what will make us safe? I support this resolution for 4 main reasons. Oregon law does not allow surveillance without reasonable suspicion a crime has been committed. FBI directives allow that surveillance. Participating in the JTTF gives Portland police officers access to information they should not know. Surveillance without reasonable cause is illegal in Oregon, regardless of who is being investigated. I am unconvinced that the JTTF's focus has switched from perceived international terrorism to local threats, and I am more concerned for the rights of local people. When we participated on a limited basis, the Council was supposed to receive annual reports on activities of our officers. Those reports were ludicrous in the absence of meaningful information. We already tried the let's do it with sideboards, let's make them better, let's participate and make sure that we get them to give us information. It did not work. Since we have been full participants, we have been given no information at all until yesterday afternoon. There is no evidence that participation has made Portlanders safer. And my fourth point is that the current president has made clear his animosity towards Muslims, immigrants, and people of color. I found it hard to trust the FBI, even under President Obama. It's impossible now. The FBI states, we only use immigration violations when there are no other options to disrupt crimes of violence. Although I can't guarantee the task force won't utilize immigration charges, I can guarantee we will only utilize those charges when necessary. That is not at all reassuring. The FBI's website defines domestic terrorism as perpetrated by individuals and or groups inspired by or associated with primarily U.S.-based movements that espouse extremist ideologies of a political, religious, social, racial, or environmental nature. Who decides what is extremist when it comes to political, religious, social, racial, or environmental issues? The FBI this past December first identified the so-called Proud Boys as an extremist group, and then they announced that they are not. How do we know even who is considered appropriate to being investigated? The FBI's website further states, the FBI-led Joint Terrorism Task Force across the country are essential to the nation's success in combating terrorism. These JTTFs bring federal, state, and local agencies together on one team, allowing members to leverage each one another's skills, authorities, and accesses to prevent and disrupt terrorist attacks across the country. Let me read that again. JTTFs bring federal, state, and local agencies together on one team, allowing members to leverage each other's skills, authorities, and accesses. Members leverage one another's authorities and accesses. That means that Portland's JTTF members have access to information they would not otherwise know, and under Oregon law, they should not know, even though they didn't collect that information themselves. It means Portland police officers participating in the JTTF have discussions about information collected by other members in ways that Portland police officers are not allowed to collect information. I can believe just about that Portland police participating in the JTTF don't engage in surveillance without evidence that a person hasn't committed a crime. In fact, I do believe that because they have said so under the truthfulness oath. However, they are involved in discussions about information gathered by FBI staff who operate under the suspicion that a person may commit a crime and who are then specifically allowed to investigate people based on suspicion or association. There is no way to participate and wall off our officers from that information. In 2011, I voted to participate in the JTTF in a limited way. I thought Portland police officers would be a good addition to the group and promote adherence to our values. And I was promised the people of Portland would get more information on its work. I appreciate the testimony from the U.S. Attorney and FBI leadership stating that the participation of our officers has been helpful. The second part of the bargain didn't happen. The annual reports were ridiculously superficial, and we heard in the work session yesterday that this is the norm in other jurisdictions too. Good transparent communication is just not what the FBI does. Our own police are put in the position of not communicating everything, even to elected officials, because it ostensibly jeopardizes our security. I'm concerned about the FBI's targeting communities of color, particularly black activists, under the pretense of protecting national security. The word security is an easy concept to stand behind because then you can justify just about anything. Surveillance, tracking citizens, profiling them, collecting data on them, keeping that data forever as an indictment of criminal intent, whether there was or was not, and arresting people for no other crime than for being poor or simply peacefully expressing their dissatisfaction with government policies. We have been told that the JTF should now be considered the Joint Threat Task Force, and that it's now concentrating on hate crimes, including those threatened and perpetrated by white supremacists. As one of our human rights commissioners commented, white supremacists have constitutional rights too. Surveillance that is illegal in Oregon is illegal no matter who is targeted. If we don't all have rights, none of us has rights. It is also hard to believe that investigation of white supremacists is a true priority for the JTTF, as white supremacists appear to premeditate and commit violent acts across state lines virtually unchecked. We heard yesterday that hundreds of reported of hate crimes were reported nationwide, and few of them, 40, were investigated, leading to arrest and conviction. While it is assumed that all parties to these investigations are operating in the best interest of the communities and residents of the United States, there are numerous examples nationally of stings, setups, surveillance, profiling, arrests for civil protest, manipulation and intimidation of and by the media, and arrests for simply researching and disseminating information about public safety. That makes this often a messy affair and one where public trust continues to be eroded. In Portland, what we need most of all is for everyone in the community to be able to trust everyone in the Portland Police Bureau. Trust is not earned by saying, "You can trust me." If there was a perfect world in which people had what they need when there wasn't such a massive difference between those who believe they have the right to lord their wealth over the 99%, when gun proliferation and use is not so prevalent for the accumulation of wealth and the proliferation of fear, then we probably wouldn't be in this situation where we as human beings often cannot communicate with each other about our collective needs, and we must turn against our neighbors to fight each other. The meaning of the word fight is indicative of our problem. It means to struggle, to keep in check, to control, to stifle, to confront, to combat, to quarrel with, to argue with, all of which keeps us further and further from peaceful, constructive solutions, and each side digs in. Many politicians are fond of saying they will fight for things. I have worked hard to avoid using that word in any of my campaigns and throughout my time in office. If we are fighting, we have already lost at least part of our humanity, compassion, and willingness to hear the other person out, even if we vehemently disagree with every word and action they make. We must work for peace and to reduce fear for every person in our community. The City of Boston's participation in the JTTF did not prevent the Boston Marathon bombing, despite the fact that the FBI had interviewed the suspect 2 years before, but did not share that information with local law enforcement, according to the Boston Globe. The City of Portland's participation in the JTTF did not prevent the Max murders. The Portland Human Rights Commission stated prior to the hearing in 2015, federal guidelines governing FBI operations expanded to grant greater permissions and flexibility to the FBI for surveillance and investigation activities. The new guidelines have loosened previous restrictions, allowing greater agency discretion and permitting intrusions that erode civil liberties in the interest of protecting national security. The absence of oversight, accountability, and transparency inherently with a JTTF collaboration will exasperate long-standing tensions stemming from racial profiling, use of force, and negative perceptions about Portland's police. That has proven an accurate prediction. I was reluctant to participate even under our President Obama. The present occupant of the White House has been very clear that he is obsessed with perceived threats from Muslims, Latinx people, and immigrants, and yet we're supposed to trust the JTTF more today than in 2015. Some of this speech was drafted by my chief of staff, Tom Bizzo, in 2015, and it's really sad that the remarks are remarkably true again today. With the passage of the MOU in 2015, we officially entered the world where information is purposefully hidden from public view, and the City of Portland agreed to be complicit with that deception. We have no idea what our officers have spent their time doing over the past 4 years. We're assured that they've kept all laws, and that's it. Several weeks ago, I asked for a detailed report with specific information on this past year's outcomes. I had to ask for it again yesterday. Instead, we were given vague, anecdotal stories of a couple of cases where our officers connecting suspects to mental health services. The report was emailed to council yesterday afternoon. I appreciate that it does contain a few specific numbers, including that approximately 300 threats were received in Oregon last year and 4 resulted in law enforcement action in Portland. I was reminded of this when Mr. German was talking about the massive numbers of investigations in relation to the few actual threats. The remainder of yesterday's report is either vague or discusses cases and actions outside Oregon. This city has been focusing on performance metrics and annual dashboards measuring effectiveness since the city budget office was formed in 2013. If any of my bureaus had staff participating in a program for 4 years, then at the end of that time, the staff couldn't point to many specific accomplishments, I would ask the director of that bureau to stop participating in the program. I'm not the police commissioner. However, thanks to Commissioner Hardesty, I am able to participate in this hugely important policy decision. I have not heard compelling reasons why I should treat the police bureau differently from the other bureaus I've administered. I believe that gaining public trust starts here at home. There are a lot of violent atrocities being perpetrated throughout the country, and it's understandable that some people are frightened. When the Irish Republican Army was terrorizing England with bombs and attacks in pubs and hotels when I was a teenager, we pulled together, we united as communities, we worked for greater trust. The biggest threat we have here in Portland is a lack of trust in our police. People in Portland are far more likely to be the target of a vehicle theft, a burglary, or an assault than a victim of terrorism. They're increasingly more likely to be a victim of hate crimes, and we need to address that in different ways. We need all of our officers on the streets of Portland helping Portlanders who have suffered crimes. Very grateful to Commissioner Hardesty for her leadership, for Commissioner Udaly for her extraordinary commitment throughout this important process, and especially today. Thank you to the ACLU, the FBI, and the U.S. Attorney for their time and diligence in giving me information. And thanks to my entire staff for engaging in this conversation, particularly Cynthia Castro, who has led the policy work, and Tim Crayon, my chief of staff. Finally, thank you to community advocates, especially to Casey Jarma, the executive director of Unite Oregon. On the evening of the holiday tree lighting bomb threat by Muhammad, it was Casey Jarma who Mayor Adams and I turned to in order to help all of our diverse communities feel safe, welcome, and valued as together we worked through the trauma of that event in our community, and it was traumatic for everybody. Over the years, Casey Jarma has earned his position as a trusted advisor to me and to the council. So, Casey, this vote is for you and for all the vulnerable communities that you represent. Aye.
Fish. Fish.
Thank you, Mayor. I want to begin by thanking the Mayor and Commissioner Hardesty for structuring 2 days of high-level briefings and debate. It has been substantive and informative, but also, in my view, and unfortunately, rushed. I, too, have a formal statement I want to read, but before I do, I want to say to my many friends in this room, I've read your letters and emails, I have met with many of you, and I have heard loud and clear the concerns and values that you have shared with us today. I've been proud to stand with you in opposing white nationalism, protecting our sanctuary city status, and challenging President Trump's Muslim travel ban in court. While I continue to believe that the relationship between the city and the Joint Terrorist Task Force can be strengthened, I also share many of your concerns. Now to my prepared statement. This is the third time that I voted for Portland to be part of the JTTF. Each time we've debated this question, I've concluded that Portland is safer when we have relationships with federal law enforcement. And we are in good company. Progressive cities like Oakland, New York, Seattle, and Los Angeles have made the same judgment. Now, nobody disputes that Portland faces serious threats of terrorism, both domestic and international. My confidential briefings from federal law enforcement have reinforced this sobering reality. The question is, can we balance safety and security on the one hand with protecting civil liberties on the other? I believe our experience since we rejoined the JTTF in 2015 proves that we can. The two Portland police officers assigned to the task force, known as Matt and Brian, are required to follow state law, city code, and bureau policy directives. The mayor, chief outlaw, the U.S. attorney, and our city attorney, the FBI, and the two officers have all conformed that they do. Let's take a moment to review some of the criticisms of our current relationship, and I take them seriously. First, of course, is President Trump. Now, I think we can all acknowledge that his election has certainly changed things for the worse. But when I asked the two officers during our work session yesterday if anything changed between the Portland JTTF under the Obama administration and that under the Trump administration, they both emphatically and unequivocally said no. Next, the FBI's history of civil liberties, abuses dating back to the days of J. Edgar Hoover. History is history, and that's why in any relationship... Mayor?
Folks, please let's let the council finish its comments and its deliberation.
History is history, and that's why in any relationship we must trust but verify. Yesterday's work session, annual briefings, and updates to our memorandum of understanding are all opportunities to do that. Next, the FBI has not been transparent in its annual reporting. I wholeheartedly agree, and that's why I am prepared to propose an amendment to not only require more robust reports, but also to put the requirement into our memorandum of understanding with the FBI. Next, our participation violates Oregon's sanctuary law. When asked, Mayor Wheeler, Chief Outlaw, the U.S. Attorney, the FBI, and the two Portland police officers assigned to the JTTF all confirmed that in spite of differences between federal and state law, our officers are exclusively bound by state law and they follow it. Next, our participation undermines trust in the Portland police and causes concerns in marginalized communities. I acknowledge that we have a lot of work to do to strengthen the public's trust in the Portland police, and I take very seriously the concerns raised by community members who feel targeted. I also take seriously the concerns of organizations like the Jewish Federation and others who support our participation and feel targeted by acts of terrorism. Finally, our participation somehow corrupts our values. This is one of the claims that I guess I don't understand. The FBI, as has been noted, will do this work whether or not we continue participating in the JTTF. I'd rather have our values at the table than to have the FBI continue without local supervision. Why would we walk away and forfeit our opportunity for ongoing information and oversight of their work? I reject the binary choice that is being presented to council today that we must be all in or all out. I believe there's a third way. Strengthening our agreement through a series of amendments I have prepared to be officially codified in the Memorandum of Understanding. Council had a work session on Tuesday, and Portlanders have just begun to engage this big question. In my view, there's no reason to rush to judgment. Many respected community voices, including Musa Olol, the Jewish Federation, the Citizens Crime Commission, anti-hate leaders like Randy Blazak, local jurisdictions like Hillsborough and Gresham, and the Oregon State Police under the leadership of Governor Kate Brown, and the major chiefs of police association have expressed their support for Portland remaining in the JTTF. Their voices deserve the same consideration as those of critics. Mayor and Commissioner Hardesty, again, I want to thank you for facilitating this process to date. This has been a good debate. And I regret that we're being forced to decide this question without adequate time to engage the whole community. Few issues that come before the council are as fundamental or as important as this. We have two options before us, the path set forth in this resolution or the path of setting a national standard for this work. The choice is ours. I want to close by thanking my chief of staff, Sonia Schmansky, and my whole team for the work that they have done in meeting with community members in helping me reach my conclusion in this, and on the resolution, respectfully, I vote no.
Hardesty?
I want to thank my colleagues for participating over the last couple of days and what's been, for me, very revealing information. I reject the notion that this vote is somehow rushed. Since the day that we rejoined the Joint Terrorism Task Force in 2015, 50 organizations have been working nonstop to make sure that Portlanders felt safe and secure in their local community. So regardless of what the Oregonian said about rushing this vote, this is not a new issue for communities. I also want to thank Jewish Voices for Peace, who has been really on the front line with us for many, many years, advocating that we have a right to feel safe in our local community. One of the things I learned by listening to Mr. Williams from the Department of Justice and Mr. Cannon from the FBI is their disregard for state law as it relates to our sanctuary status. I sat and listened for over an hour to of them talking about how they respect and they work with the law that Oregon has, but yet when questioned directly if they supported the sanctuary law, it became very clear that they did not. So if we have the people in charge of this task force having total disregard for our sanctuary status, how could we ever in good faith believe that two Portland police officers who are not in charge of the task force, who are not making decisions for the task force, who are merely there as part of a big law enforcement presence, would have the wherewithal to fight back against that federal intrusion on our rights? I have heard from the FBI and the Department of Justice that now they are focused on white supremacists and white nationalist groups in our community. Yet all of us have seen video pictures of police officers protecting white nationalists and attacking community members who showed up to say hate is not acceptable in our community. Here, this body just last week passed a resolution that said we stand firmly against hate and white supremacy, and we will ensure that no city resources are used to support white supremacy and white nationalist activities. I cannot have faith and confidence that we are not working in violation of the resolution that we all so proudly supported if we continue to stay in the Joint Terrorism Task Force. Just recently, when the FBI was asked, the FBI took on a defense of the Ku Klux Klan at a rally that they weren't even at, implying that BAM, an organization that works for the empowerment of African American people, were in fact the terrorists and they needed to open an investigation on them. This is a slippery slope when you cannot trust people who are sworn to protect and serve and sworn and they are charged with protecting your civil liberties. This, by no way is this vote rushed. For a whole year, I talked about this on the campaign trail. I talked about it in every community. I talked about it at every house party that I went to. And everywhere I went, people were concerned about whether or not their data was being collected and used in a way that is against Oregon state law. We are here today because I am about keeping promises. When I said that I would bring this up at the earliest point possible, that is why we're here today. And so I reject anybody's notion that somehow this has been a rushed activity. We had standing room only at Unite Oregon last month when we had a community meeting about this very topic. We have not rushed this. This is a very thoughtful process, and this is a thoughtful process that centers all members of our community. When we talk about one Portland, a Portland where everyone is respected, we cannot, in good conscience, continue our engagement with the Joint Terrorism Task Force. I am proud to vote yes for this resolution, and I thank you again for being here.
Thank you. You, Daly.
So before I begin my formal remarks, I want to say that I do wish that we had an opportunity as a body to reach greater consensus among ourselves and with the police chief, as was the case in San Francisco. I believe we all want the same thing. We want to keep our community safe and protect vulnerable community members. We want our officers to abide by state and local laws and policies. We want to direct resources towards actual threats to public safety and national security. However, the testimony we heard today has gone a long way towards easing my concerns and regrets. I also want to make it clear that none of my remarks or vote today are meant to impugn the character of any of the individuals involved with Portland's JTTF. They're not on trial here today. But even good people can make bad decisions, especially within a flawed system that is biased against immigrants, ethnic and religious minorities, communities of color, and political dissenters. However, I don't trust the system that JTTF functions within. I do not trust the administration who oversees it. And even if there was justification for previous involvement, we must scrutinize this agreement given the current reality. Do you feel safer today than you did 5 years ago?
No.
I don't. I don't either. Immigrants and refugees, African Americans, other communities of color, ethnic and religious minorities, political dissenters, LGBTQI community, basically anyone who's not part of the dominant culture, which when you add us all up is the majority of us. Why? Because they've seen hateful speech, actions, and crimes rise since November 2016, because members of white supremacists and other right-wing extremist groups are responsible for the vast majority of extremist-related fatalities over the past decade, yet they don't appear to be the focus of the FBI or the JTTF, and because we have seen law enforcement violate our civil rights, engage in racial profiling, persecution of immigrants, and using principled acts of civil disobedience to justify investigations. I shared this story yesterday in the work session, and I'm going to briefly share it here today just to illustrate the point. In the early 90s, I was connected to a group of activists who were found to be illegally surveilled by the Portland Police Bureau. This activity was brought to light by a lawsuit against the city, which resulted in a settlement and changes to our policy. So this is just to say that these are not wingnut conspiracies that we're hearing from left-wing activists. This really happens, and it's happened in recent history, and it continues to happen today. Today's conversation is about how we balance our responsibility to maintain public safety while protecting Portlander's civil rights. These questions force us to examine our very definition of safety and to question whose safety we are considering. Our country's legacy of white supremacy has always skewed our perception and definition of who is dangerous and who should be subject to surveillance. We need to acknowledge that the othering of African Americans, immigrants, Muslims, other ethnic and religious minorities, the LGBTQ community, is baked into our culture, and that this othering is reinforced by law enforcement. This is not a critique of the people in law enforcement, who are often good people with good intentions, but it does point to a systemic issue. This is best evidenced by the JTTF's unwillingness to clearly identify white supremacy as the most significant domestic terrorism threat of our time. For example, I was troubled to read quotes from a recent JTTF investigation in California, Sacramento, California, in which agents wrote, quote, "The KKK consisted of members that some perceived to be supportive of a white supremacist agenda." According to the Anti-Defamation League Center on Extremism, 100% of extremist deaths in 2018 were from alt-right and white supremacist perpetrators. Unless the JTTF can unequivocally denounce white supremacy and commit to dedicating significant and targeted support to address this epidemic, it's hard for me to believe that this partnership significantly increases public safety.
I've also been deeply considering how our democracy is founded on the principles of due process and how this principle continues to be denied to marginalized communities. Using immigration violations to bypass the criminal court system is a violation of the spirit of our due process protections. Additionally, I continue to be wary of supporting a partnership with any agency that works with ICE. ICE is a rogue agency whose mission appears to be the violation of basic human and constitutional rights of our immigrant communities. I'm not convinced that there are adequate protections to ensure Portland Police Bureau officers will be walled off from this component of the JTTF's activities, and without meaningful civilian oversight, I'm not confident that we could ever confirm this. Finally, I'm troubled by the FBI's historic and current surveillance of activist communities and the Portland Police Bureau's role in supporting this. In closing, I'll repeat the question I asked yesterday. How do we justify the risk of civil and human rights violations by our continued involvement in the JTTF if the justification is that this is necessary in order to promote safety, then how can we explain the lack of investment in addressing white supremacy and continued cooperation with ICE? Sometimes we have to make decisions within a flawed system that satisfy no one. I can think of one recent example in particular. And sometimes we get to challenge and change the system. And this is one of those times. I continue to believe that we are safest when communities are connected to each other and their government. Both the perception and actual activities of the JTTF undermine this trust and therefore cannot make us safe. Thank you, Commissioner Hardesty. Thank you to everyone who came to testify today. This was a really excellent council session. Thank you for reassuring me and reaffirming our collective commitment to justice. This work will never be done, but today we take another step in the direction of the greater good. I vote aye.
Wheeler.
So, again, to underscore a core point here, all of the Portland City Council is here today because we want to keep Portlanders safe. I start with that basic assumption that we're all here for that reason. Obviously, we may disagree about how, but we can make sure and agree that this is about making sure that all members of the community are, in fact, protected. Over the last 2 days, we've heard from legal experts. We've heard from local and federal jurisdictions. We've heard from advocacy organizations. We've heard from Chief Outlaw. And now we've heard from many members in our community as well. Let's be honest, this is probably one of the least surprising outcomes in terms of votes that the City Council has taken during my tenure. But I also want to make it very clear, I respect my colleagues' opinion on this matter. Nobody has a monopoly on the truth. For my own part, I've been consistent in asserting that I would support the city's withdrawal from the JTTF if given a compelling reason. After considering the weight of the testimony offered at the work session and much of it underscored by this hearing, and in light of the information the FBI and PPB have provided in various briefings, I personally do not believe that the case to withdraw from the JTTF has been adequately made. I hope my comments are taken in the spirit of honest yet respectful disagreement with my colleagues. While I do believe that the majority of my colleagues are very well-meaning on this issue and that their values are sincere, I still believe it's a mistake for us to withdraw the City of Portland from the Joint Terrorism Task Force. To be clear, many valid questions have been asked of our federal partners regarding compliance with Oregon's sanctuary law, investigation of white supremacists, and the standards of surveillance. Valid questions have been raised around the FBI's history with respect to civil rights. The FBI and PPB have been willing to answer all of these questions. They've offered briefings to the commissioners. They voluntarily participated in yesterday's work session. I also want to say this. While I not only don't believe that the case has been made for withdrawal, but I also don't believe that the case has been made against consideration of amendments to our arrangement with the FBI. What was proposed today, I believe, is a false choice. We either are in or we are out. And I think collectively we missed an opportunity to actually lead the way for the rest of the nation in making JTTFs once and for all more accountable to the communities in which they serve. I want to be clear about a few things from a factual perspective. First of all, we are not voting on whether the JTTF should exist or not. The JTTF will continue to exist in our community, whether we're part of it or not. What we're voting on is whether or not we will be engaged and whether we will be informed, or whether we will be disengaged and potentially not informed. The work of the JTTF continues either way. If we withdraw, it is my opinion that we lose our ability to bring our own Portland values to the table to help establish its priorities and policies. In short, we're ceding these opportunities by walking away rather than remaining aggressively engaged.
Excuse me, Mayor, I think the captioning may have...
Is the captioning gone?
Yeah, they may have taken a... We're switching out captioners, so...
Can you let me know when it's back, please? Sorry, Philip.
Well done, Ted.
Maybe you'll just get up and say,
very dramatic.
This is the intermission. I feel like the French fries are about to dance. Sorry, folks. We want to make sure the closed captioning system's operating.
Run into trouble when we get past five?
It's like 01 now.
Yeah. She wasn't sure if they'd... I think they may be on now. Oh, captioners, are you there?
Is it working?
We've got a little bit.
Sort of.
They're not getting what I'm saying now, so I think we're still not on yet.
I'm sorry?
I think they're having trouble, actually, because it's coming on and then it wasn't. Okay, I think they're good now.
Good?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, let's take it from where we were. So just a few more facts, and I'm going to speed this up. Number one, it was made very clear subsequent to yesterday's work session that JTT officers are not under any circumstances involved in immigration enforcement. I want to make that clear. It's also been made clear by the two officers who testified yesterday, and they understood very clearly they were under the truthfulness directive, that they have never, during their tenure as members of the Joint Terrorism Task Force, violated or been asked to violate Oregon state law, nor do they find it difficult, according to their testimony, to comply with Oregon state law. This conversation to me has been about more than just policy. What I've heard repeatedly from people is that this is really about a fundamental lack of trust in the public safety system. That trust needs to be earned, absolutely. And I want you to know I fundamentally agree with that. That does not mean, however, that we should lean into hyperbole or throw the proverbial baby out with the bathwater. We benefit as a community by having our law enforcement partners actively communicating with each other and working together so long as there are real accountability measures in place. There are some. There's local oversight. There's congressional oversight. There's executive oversight between the Attorney General and the FBI, and of course, judicial oversight. But if we believe that the Joint Terrorism Task Force is not accountable enough, then it's our job to be stewards of this partnership and make it better over time. It is not